Meseches Tum Perek Zayin Shadalim from Meseches Midas Perek Alef Mishnah Gimel. The final Mishnah of the Masechta talks of Hashir Shehoyu HaLevim Urmim BaMikdash, the song that the Levim would sing in the Beis HaMikdash whilst the Nisuch HaYayin took place. The Nisuch HaYayin was that which was discussed in the previous Mishnah, when wine was poured on the top of the Mizbeach in the corner during the offering of certain korbanos, such as the Korban Tomid, the daily sacrifice which was brought once in the morning and once in the afternoon. Now, at the same time as the wine was being poured on the Mizbeach, the previous Mishnah already described how at that exact point the Levim would sing. Some Levim would sing with their mouths, others would play musical instruments. And it should be noted that the vast majority of public korbanos, sacrifices brought on behalf of all of the Jewish people, for example, on any festival there was a unique sacrifice, a unique korban, most of these public korbanos was accompanied by the Levim singing. Our Mishnah records the song which was sung daily, which accompanied the daily korban tomid, that sacrifice which was offered up twice a day. But on the various Yom Tovim, the various festivals, when the unique korban, the sacrifice which was brought for that particular festival, that particular Yom Tov, there would be a different song which was relevant to that particular Yom Tov, sung at the time that the wine was poured on the Mizbeach, together with the korban being offered up. By Yom Rishon, on Sunday, the first day of the week, when the Korban Tomid was offered up, Hoyo Omrim, the Levim, would say the Perek of Tehillim, the chapter which begins with the following verse, La'ashem ho'aretzum lo'ya, the world and everything that fills it belongs to Hashem, Tevil v'yoshvevav, the world and all that inhabit the world. Because the entire earth was created on the first day of the week, Sunday, that's why this Perek, this particular chapter, is relevant to that day. Basheni, on the second day of the week, Monday, that's the day that Hashem split the waters and created heaven and earth, those two separate parts of the creation, and therefore they would sing the chapter of Tehillim that begins, Godol Hashem Muhlo Ma'id, Hashem is great and very praised, Be'ir Elokeinu Har Kodshoi, in the city of our God, on the mountain of His Holiness, on His holy mountain. This is referring to the city of Yerushalayim, and in particular Har Abayis, the mountain on which the Beis HaMikdash stood, and the idea is that those locations are considered separate from the rest of the world, and that they're considered to be holier, in the same way as the heaven and the earth are considered separate, and possibly the heaven is considered to be a place where Hashem's presence resides more. Bashlishi, on the third day of the week, Tuesday, when the dry land was created, and it wasn't just water, the Levim would sing the chapter of Tehillim that says, Hoyo Omrim, they would say, Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel, which literally means that Hashem stands in the congregation of Hashem, the Kerelehim Yishpoit. He will judge amongst judges. By creating dry land, he allowed for space for human beings to live, and he prepared that idea for them to have a connection to Hashem's judgment. Baravi, on Wednesday, Ha'omrim, the Levim would say the chapter of Tehillim that begins, Kel Nekomes Hashem, Kel Nekomes Efia. Hashem, the God of vengeance will appear. Because the stars and the sun and the moon were created on Wednesday, those were really the first original things which were worshipped as idolatry. And Hashem is going to take vengeance and punish those who serve those things that He created on Wednesday, and that's why that chapter of Tehillim is appropriate for Wednesday. B'chamishu yo'imrim. On Thursday, the Levim would say the chapter of Tehillim that begins, Harininu l'elokim uzeinu, praise Hashem, our mighty one, Harinu l'elokei Yaakov, call out and proclaim the God of Yaakov, the God of the Jewish people. Many of the animals and other parts of nature were created on Thursday, and those amazing parts of nature cause a person who sees them to praise Hashem. They see the magnificence of Hashem's creation, and that's why that perek of Tehillim is appropriate for Thursday. But Shishu Hayomrim, on the sixth day, Friday, the Levim would say, Hashem Moloch Geos Lovesh. Hashem has been king, and he, so to speak, wears glory and honor. Human beings who are able to give honor to Hashem via their free will to do so, that really is one of the greatest ways that honor can be brought to Hashem. And that's why that tehillim was said on Friday, and Bashabbos Hoyomim, on Shabbos, they would say, at least when they sang during the morning Korban Tomid, Mizmor Shelayim HaShabbos, the song about the day of Shabbos. And although that entire chapter of Tehillim doesn't appear to talk about the day of Shabbos itself, however, Mizmor Shir Osed Lovei, It's a song that is a reference to the coming days in the future when Moshiach will come. L'yom shekuli Shabbos menucha l'chayei ha'olamim, which is considered to be one long day of Shabbos, a day of rest which will give eternal life, because really Shabbos every single week is a microcosm of the future times when Hashem's existence and honor will be recognized throughout the world, when it will finally be clear that nothing else other than that which Hashem wants and desires exists. And that is why this chapter of Tehillim, which we also say every Shabbos, is indeed relevant to Shabbos. Solik Maseches Tomid Mazel Tov. We begin Maseches Midas, and in a similar way to how Maseches Tomid is not really a list of laws, but rather a recording of the procedure which went on in the Beis HaMikdash, Maseches Midas is also a much more factual recording of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Midas literally means measurements, because much of the Masechta talks about the length and the width of the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Masechta is a description specifically of the second Beis HaMikdash. Although it was very similar to the first Beis HaMikdash, however there were many differences, and interestingly the Rambam implies that there's a special emphasis which should be placed upon learning this Masechta, so that we will know how to build the third Beis HaMikdash when Moshiach comes from here of Yomeinu. Although there are many differences between the second Beis HaMikdash and how the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, nevertheless, the main structure and format is the same, and that is why a special emphasis should be placed on learning this Masechta. Now, most Mishnayos come with a diagram of the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, and although it's not totally vital, it will certainly help to use such a diagram as we go through the Masechta, in order that it be easier to visualize. If you're using the Kahati Mishnayos, then it appears at the beginning of the Masechta. Just one word of introduction, the Beis HaMikdash was situated on Har HaBayis, which is a mountain, and the area of Har HaBayis itself is 500 by 500 amos, which is basically a square of roughly 250 by 250 meters. And Har HaBayis was surrounded by walls, and the area itself of Har HaBayis, even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, had a higher level of holiness and sanctity than the rest of the city of Yerushalayim, and therefore certain impure people are not allowed to enter even into that area of Har HaBayis, this 500 by 500 amos area. Now, inside Har HaBayis was the Beis HaMikdash complex, and we're able to split this up into four parts. The area of this entire complex was 322 amos long and 135 amos wide. So if you imagine a rectangle, an amah, which is the standard measurement used in the Mishnayos for length, an amah is roughly half a meter. So if you imagine a rectangle which is 135 amos by 322 amos. So if we move along the length of the Beis HaMikdash, there was the first 135 amos lengthways made up a square, because the width of the Beis HaMikdash was 135 amos as well. So the first 135 amos of the length of the Beis HaMikdash was a square, and this was known as the Ezras Noshim, a courtyard where women were allowed to enter, and non-Kohanim. And there were four large chambers in each of the four corners of this square room called the Ezras Noshim. If we go further in and continue walking in towards the main building of the Beis HaMikdash, we then have an area called the Ezras Yisrael, which again went across the whole width of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 135 amos, and its length was only 11 amos. And any non-Kohen who is male is allowed to enter that area. And then after you go up a few stairs, you come to the actual courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, in which the Mizbeach stood, and that's where the vast majority of the services in the Beis HaMikdash were performed. And the courtyard, as well as everything we've talked about so far inside the Beis HaMikdash, was outdoors. It wasn't a roofed building. However, inside the courtyard was the Heichal, and the Heichal is the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, which measured 100 by 100 amos. And the Heichal, this actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, was split really into two parts, and the innermost part of the Heichal is called the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the holiest point on earth, the holiest point in the Beis HaMikdash, where only the Kohen Gadol could enter there once a year on Yom Kippur, on the holiest day of the year, and that is where the Aron HaKodesh was kept, which originally contained the Luchos, the tablets which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. It did not contain the Luchos, but the Urn itself was situated there. That's just a brief outline of the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, and of course all of this will be discussed in much further detail throughout the Masechta. The Mishnah begins, there were three locations where Kohanim would guard in the Beis HaMikdash during the night. It is a requirement learnt from Pesukim to guard the Beis HaMikdash at night, not in order to protect it, but rather to glorify and honor the Beis HaMikdash, and of course ultimately Hashem, since this is supposed to be the place where Hashem's presence is most concentrated and resides in the Beis HaMikdash, more so than in other areas in the world. These are names of three different chambers which were situated on the side of the Azara, which is the main courtyard in which the Beis HaMikdash, in which the Mizbeach stood, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal itself, was in the courtyard. So on the side of that courtyard, at various different points, there were a number of chambers, and these three chambers were situated over there. Those were the three Kohanim who were involved in guarding the Beis HaMikdash at night. However, this was really one of the main jobs of the Leviim. There were Leviim who were positioned in 21 different places in the Beis HaMikdash guarding at night. Where were they guarding? Chamisha al Chamisha Shari Harbayis. Five Leviim were positioned at the five gates which were entrances to Har HaBayis, the 500 by 500 amos area on the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash was stood. There were five different entrances to enter Har HaBayis, and they guarded over there. And in addition, Arba'ah, there were four Leviim who guarded Al Arba Pinoisov at the four corners of Har HaBayis, which was surrounded by a big wall, Mitoichai. They guarded from the inside. They didn't stand on the corner of the walls on the outside, but rather on the inside, that's where they were positioned. Chamisha, there were five Leviim al Chamisha Shari HaAzara, who guarded at the five entrances into the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And whenever the Mishnayos will refer to the Azara, it refers to the main courtyard in which the Mizbeach and the building of the Beis HaMikdash stood. It does not refer to the Ezras Noshim, which was the outer courtyard where even women were allowed to enter. So there were five Leviim at the five entrances to the Azara, the courtyard, and Arba'ah, there were four Leviim al Arba Pinei Seha, who were positioned at the four corners of the Azara, the courtyard, Mibachutz, but this time they were on the outside of the courtyard. At the four corners, but on the outside, the reason being that it's forbidden to sit down in the Azara, in the courtyard. And they weren't able to stand the entire night, so they would sit down at some points. And so they would be able to sit down, they had to guard from the outside as opposed to being inside the actual courtyard itself. Alright, Ve'echad, there was one Levi who stood Belishkas HaKorban at the entrance to the chamber called the Lishkas HaKorban. That was the name of that chamber. Ve'echad Belishkas HaPareches, one of the Leviim stood at the chamber called the Lishkas HaPareches, and Ve'echad, the final Levi out of the 21 Leviim, La'achrei Beis HaKapayres, he stood behind the chamber of the Kapayres. The Kapayres was the lid on top of the Aron HaKodesh, which means that the chamber which contained the Kapayres was essentially the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This was the most inner room of the Beis HaMikdash, which was the most holy room. The reason why it's called the chamber of the Kapayres is because Hashem's presence resides on top of the Aron HaKodesh, where the Kapayres is, where the lid of the Aron is. And so in the area of the courtyard which went behind the Heichal, behind the building of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be a Levi guarding over there. Mishnah Beis, Ish HaRabayis, somebody who was appointed over the guarding of Har HaBayis. Again, Har HaBayis refers to the whole complex, the 500 by 500 amos area, in which much of that was taken up by the Beis HaMikdash. So the person who was appointed over the guarding of this whole area, he would go after and inspect each position where there was supposed to be somebody guarding. There were torches of fire which lit the way in front of him. Possibly there were people who would carry the torches in front of him, the Kol Mishmar She'ena Oymed, and anybody who was on guard duty who didn't stand as he was approaching, Omelo Ish HaRabayis, the person who was appointed over the guarding of HaRabayis, said to him, Shalom Alecha, peace be with you. It's a way of greeting him, because the fact that he didn't stand up seems to imply that he's actually asleep. But in order to make absolute sure, he first tried to greet him, and Nikar Shel Yoshein, if he recognized that indeed he was sleeping, he would hit him with his stick, or he even had permission to burn his outer item of clothing if indeed he saw that he was deeply asleep, and there would be quite a commotion as a result. And people who would hear the commotion from outside would say to each other, Ma kol ba'zara, what is this noise coming from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash? Kol ben Levi loike, must be the voice. It must be the sound of a Levi who is being hit with a god of Nisrafin and his clothes are being burnt, Sheyoshnel loyal mishmarai, for having slept whilst on duty to guard the Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't doing his job. And that must be the cause of this commotion that we are hearing. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov adds, Pam achas, Motzus achi imo yoshein, they once found my mother's brother, my uncle, who was a Levi, and he was sleeping on the job, Vesorfus kesusai, and indeed they burnt his outer item of clothing in order to punish him for having fallen asleep whilst guarding the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Gimel, Chamishas Orim Hoylo Lahar Bayis, there were 5 gates in order to enter into Har Bayis. The Mishnah is starting to describe the Beis HaMikdash from the most outer point, the widest area, Har Bayis. And we're going to go further in and in throughout the Masechta until we finally reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, which is the holiest room of the Beis HaMikdash. Shnei Shari Chulda Min Hadorim, the 2 gates called Shari Chulda were on the south side of the Har Bayis, the southern wall, Mishamshin Knisa V'Yitziah, and those were used for going in and out of Har Bayis. And these were the most commonly used gates for entering into Har Bayis. Kifonos Min Amarov, there was the Kifonos gate from the western side of Har Bayis on the western wall, Meshamish Knesav Yetziah, and that was also used for entering in and out of Har Bayis. Todi Min Atzofain, the Todi gate was on the northern side of Har Bayis, Lo HaMeshamish Klom, that didn't have any official use. People wouldn't use that gate to enter into Har Bayis. However, it was the way that a Kohen who became Tomei became impure at night whilst he was sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of becoming impure, he would not be able to serve and perform part of the service the next day. He would exit Har Bayis via that gate, as we learnt already in the beginning of Maseches Tomid, and indeed that Mishnah will appear again towards the end of this perek. Shaar HaMizrachi, the eastern gate, Olav Shushan Abira Tzura, there was a form of the city of Shushan, which was the capital of the Persian Empire, and that was carved on top of this gate, because it was the Persians who allowed the Jewish people to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, and they required that this be built on top of one of the gates. Shaboy, that through that gate, Kohen Gadol Hasarif HaSapara, the Kohen Gadol, when he came to burn the Parah Adumah, which was a red cow which they would burn, and the ashes of that cow were mixed with some special water which they would use to purify people who had become Tomei, impure from a dead body, and this process was performed by the Kohen Gadol, and he, as well as Upara, the cow itself, V'chol Masa Adeha, and all of the other people who were involved in helping this procedure being taken place, Yitzman Har Mishchal, they would go out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Har Bayis, and walk towards Har HaMishchal, which is another name for Har HaZesim, which is the mountain which stood next to Har Bayis. And that's where the procedure for making the Parah Adumah ashes and the solution was made. And they would travel to that area from Har Bayis, going through that gate on the eastern side of Har Bayis.